This is 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for February 6th. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, the State of the Union Address. This result from the CBS News poll after the address pretty much says it all. Overall, 76% of CBS viewers had a positive reaction to the president's speech, approved of the speech. The key number there is the bottom one, independents. 82% of independent voters who watched the State of the Union approved of the president's speech. CNN's poll results came back with the same 76% overall approval. That's bipartisan when you get that many saying thumbs up. The other interesting note, the CBS poll had 72% of its viewers approving of Trump's immigration proposals, while the CNN poll showed 76% approval with 59% very positive. Highlights of the union, the State of the Union address, the president's comments on legal and illegal immigration, on abortion and infanticide, and on what he called endless and foolish wars. His vow that America will never be a socialist country will be long remembered from this address, I think. There were heartfelt and touching salutes to a number of great heroes, military, Border Patrol, 10-year-old girl, cancer survivor, who raised tens of thousands of dollars for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, an 81-year-old survivor, not only of Nazi concentration camps, but of the deadly attack at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Judas Samet, happened to be his birthday yesterday, and so the House chamber broke out spontaneously in a rendition of Happy Birthday to You. It's not every day somebody has the President of the United States directing a group of people singing Happy Birthday to You. So some good moments during the address. Some very nifty political jujitsu as well, as President Trump got Democrats, including some of these radical freshman Democratic women, to stand and applaud during his address. Many of them wore white to honor the suffragettes of 100 years ago who won the right for women to vote exactly 100 years ago. The president acknowledged or pointed out that over the past year, 58% of the jobs filled in America have been filled by women, and that led the Democratic women to stand and applaud. They were kind of applauding for themselves, but we'll let that slide. The president acknowledged them with good humor and good cheer, said, "You weren't supposed to do that, but thank you. Now don't sit down yet." And then he acknowledged that there are more female representatives in Congress, this Congress, than ever in America's history. So some real high points during his delivery. He looked confident, relaxed. It seemed to me, and this is just my take on this, that the president knows that he's accomplished a lot over his first 2 years and that Democrats know it too. Now, one person who was not there was Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This photo is from the 2015 State of the Union address, President Obama's address, during which Justice Ginsburg fell asleep. She admitted later that she was not, in her words, 100% sober during the address. Anyway, Justice Ginsburg is recovering from lung cancer surgery in December. She made her first public appearance Monday night at a production of a musical called The Notorious RBG in Song, which was created and performed by her daughter-in-law, who is a soprano, Patrice Michaels. Ginsburg didn't speak. She sat in the back. Many in the crowd didn't even know she was there. There were no pictures taken. So there are some out there who are questioning whether she was actually there or whether this is sort of a Weekend at Ruthie's kind of thing. Democrats are very nervous about this, and pro-abortion activists, because as one of the progressive or liberal votes on the Supreme Court, if President Trump has the opportunity to appoint another replacement for her, since Republicans control the Senate, the president could appoint a conservative vote to replace Justice Ginsburg on the bench. This is causing Democrats some panic, in fact, which is why I think we're seeing Democrat-controlled legislatures around the country proposing laws, and in the case of New York State, passing laws that even most pro-abortion Americans don't support. For example, a recent poll by Marist shows that 81% of all Americans and 66% of those who identify as pro-choice, that's 2 out of every 3 pro-choice Americans, would restrict abortion to, at most, the first 3 months of pregnancy. Unlike the bill just passed in New York, a bill proposed in Virginia, another proposed in Vermont, and one that is being publicly promoted or advocated by the governor of Rhode Island that would allow unrestricted abortion into the third trimester. Again, they're afraid they're going to lose the Supreme Court, and so Democrat-controlled legislatures are looking to pass laws now rather than waiting for a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. Topic number four, other news. Soldiers to the border. President Trump confirmed during the State of the Union address another 3,000 troops will be sent to the southern border to help the Border Patrol. They'll lay razor wire and assist in mobile surveillance operations. Trump signed legislation to keep the government open until next Friday, February 15th, but he's not optimistic about reaching a deal over border wall funding, which could lead to an executive order declaring a national emergency, allowing him to just pull money from elsewhere in the federal budget and get the wall built. Topic number three, Elizabeth Warren, she's done. She'd been saying for a long, long time that she never, never claimed Native American ancestry to advance her career. Well, Tuesday night, the Washington Post published a story disclosing that she listed her race as American Indian on her Texas bar registration card from 1986. The Post obtained the registration card during an open records request. As the Post noted, the card, written in blue ink, signed by Elizabeth Warren, a spokesman for Senator Warren, who is a Democratic candidate for president in the 2020 election, did not deny that the card was authentic. And the fact that the Washington Post, which is no friend of conservatives, is putting this out there, suggests that the power brokers behind the scenes are saying, Senator Warren, you are not the one. Her candidacy for 2020 is pretty much done. Topic number two, find God, be happy. Actively religious people are much more likely than those who are less religious to describe themselves as very happy, according to a new poll by the Pew Research Center. In the U.S., 36% of us who call ourselves actively religious describe ourselves as very happy, while only 25% of the inactively religious and 25% of the unaffiliated self-identify as very happy. In Australia, the gap is even wider. 45% of the religiously active say they're very happy, compared with only 33% of religiously inactive and 32% of the unaffiliated. Of course, this also says that Australians are generally happier than Americans in general. But anyway, this trend linking greater happiness to more religious practice held good in the Pew survey for 19 out of the 26 nations that were surveyed, and in the other seven, the differences were marginal. Aside from being happier, religiously active are more engaged socially and civically, more likely to vote in elections, join charitable organizations, including non-religious organizations, than those who are religiously inactive and unaffiliated. Church attendance also has a positive effect on children and education. According to sociologist Robert Putnam, a child whose parents attend church regularly, 40 to 50% more likely to go on to college than a child of non-attenders. Children involved in religious organizations also take tougher courses, get higher grades and test scores. They're less likely to drop out of high school, better relations with their parents and other adults, more friendships with high-performing peers, and more involved in sports and other extracurricular activities. Makes you wonder then why governments are trying to push religion out of public life. That's a rhetorical question. We know the answer. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, etc., etc. Coming up, massive crypto fail. That's next on 5 and 10.
For thousands of years, the world has heard warning that there is a coming day when the man of sin, the Antichrist, will arise to pilot the greatest deception in human history. Prepare yourself now for what is ahead with the coming Third Temple Collection. This incredible assortment features Dr. Thomas Horn's new book, The Rabbis, Donald Trump, and the Top Secret Plan to Build the Third Temple, where you'll learn why many believe President Trump is a King Cyrus-like figure guided by Hashem, God himself. The connection between Donald Trump, rabbis, and a behind-the-scenes scheme to erect the Third Temple, and how this, as the book of Daniel prophesied, will be the catalyst that precedes the apocalypse and arrival of Antichrist. All this and so much more. This unbelievable collection also includes best-selling author Carl Gallup's brand new book, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, which reveals how Israel's most venerated Orthodox rabbi, Yitzhak Kaduri, came face-to-face with the true Messiah and said that it was Jesus Christ. You may know that much of the story, but now you can learn what's happened since. Discover the secrets, witness tampering, intimidation tactics, global media, and powerful personalities who will stop at nothing, including death threats and even ritualistic curses to cover up this new stunning revelation. But we're just getting started. The coming Third Temple collection also includes Shelley Neese's new book, The Copper Scroll Project, that highlights the decades-long quest to uncover Qumran's greatest secrets, the lost treasures of the Jerusalem Temple. Hold on to your hats as you'll also discover how the Dead Sea Scrolls were merely the tip of the archaeological iceberg as Jim Barfield's Copper Scroll Project tethers to Israel's modern battle for the Temple Mount, and how the secrets contained in the Copper Scroll, the most enigmatic of the Dead Sea Scrolls, might hold the key to one of the greatest treasures in Israel's history. But that's not all. You'll also receive the best of the first annual Blessed Hope Prophecy Conference on DVD. This two-disc DVD collection is jam-packed with over 11 hours of mind-boggling revelations from presenters like Dr. Thomas Horn on deep state saboteurs and the secret destiny of America, Sharon Gilbert on the return of the ancients through pharmakia, necromancy, and virtual reality, Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis on the inside war against President Trump by elite secret societies, and unforgettable presentations from celebrated theologian Dr. Michael Lake, Derek P. Gilbert, Josh Peck, and more. Also included in this amazing collection, the original four-week investigative Skywatch television series regarding the coming Third Temple on DVD, featuring Carl Gallups, Shelley Neese, and Dr. Thomas Horn. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of $180. Yours now for your donation of only $30 plus shipping and handling. Now's your chance to save big. The coming Third Temple collection, available now at Skywatch TV Store. Order online or call 844-750-4985.
And topic number one, cryptocurrency so secure that even its owners can't get the money out. A Canadian crypto exchange called Quadriga CX says it cannot repay most of the $190 million it holds after its 30-year-old owner, Gerald Cotton, unexpectedly died in India back in December, taking with him the passwords to the company's cold storage. In a sworn affidavit with the government of Nova Scotia, Cotton's widow, Jennifer Robertson, said that Quadriga CX owes its customers about $190 million in cryptocurrency and in fiat currency. The company has filed for creditor protection because it can't access the funds in cold storage because Cotton was the only one with the passwords. Robertson has Cotton's laptop in her possession, but she doesn't know the password, and so far a technical expert hired by the company has been unable to crack its encrypted its encryption to get into the laptop. A Wall Street Journal article in 2017 noted that unlike stock exchanges, which only facilitate transactions, crypto exchanges are vulnerable because they store cryptocurrencies for their customers. They're just bits and bytes, digital information. The threats associated with cryptocurrencies usually comes from hackers and cyber criminals, not the only guy with the password suddenly and unexpectedly dying. Something to bear in mind before you invest in a cryptocurrency. Well, the Skywatch TV Defender Conference, our first annual, coming to Branson in early August, is already sold out. It's sold out within 5 days. But we have a way you can stream the conference for free if you help us with the construction of our brand new studio. We've got information on exactly how you can do that at defenderconference.com. That's defenderconference.com. At the end of March, Sharon and I, along with our colleague here for Skywatch TV, Josh Peck, will be in Dallas for the Hear the Watchman conference. That's March 28th through 31st. The conference itself, 29th, 30th, 31st. Other speakers include L.A. Marzulli, Dr. Michael Lake, Pastor Carl Gallops and Rabbi Zev Perot, who will join us in Israel. More on that in just a second. Russ Dizdar, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer, Irvin Baxter, Gary Wayne, and more. For information and to register, log on to hearthewatchmen.com. But wait, there's more. Save $20 off the tickets or 20% off the video streaming by using promo code Gilbert20. That's Gilbert20 when you check out at hearthewatchmen.com. Now, Carl Gallops, Zev Perot, Sharon and I, your hosts for the Skywatch TV Wars of the Gods Tour of Israel in May, May 12th through 23rd. We will see some of the great historical sites, of course, Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, the archaeological sites in Jerusalem, but we'll also see some of the spiritually significant sites, Mount Hermon, the Grotto of Pan, the River Jordan. We'll also see the location and what some archaeologists believe is the actual altar built by Joshua on Mount Ebal. See Joshua's altar in Israel. And we'll also see some other sites that you just won't want to miss. Bethel, Shiloh. And then if you go over to Jordan with us, you'll see Mount Nebo, where Moses got his look at the Holy Land. We'll be able to see the site of biblical Sodom from there. And of course, Petra, which is a fascinating place. Oh, and I almost forgot. We'll get a tour of Qumran. That's where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, but it's also where the mysterious copper scroll apparently points to the location of treasures from Solomon's temple. Jim Barfield, founder of the Copper Scroll Project, will meet us there and take us through Qumran. You don't want to miss that. For information and to reserve your place on the tour, we still have some seats left on the second bus, LipkinTours.com. Log on to LipkinTours.com. We can broadcast on your schedule. It's a simple matter. Just load the Skywatch TV channel onto Apple TV or Roku, or download our free mobile app to your iOS, Android, Windows Phone, or Amazon Kindle Fire tablet, any of those mobile devices. The app is free. We've got links to the app stores at skywatchtv.com and my website, where you'll find the weekly Bible study that Sharon and I produce, and this week an interview with the scientific advisor for the archaeological dig at the site of the biblical Sodom, Dr. Philip Sylvia of Trinity Southwest University. Fascinating conversation, and you'll find it linked at DerekPGilbert.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.